Man on the Street interview. Only one channel of this is working, only the left channel. Only the left channel is working. Only one channel is working. How many channels are working?
Okay.
Yeah, there was a concert that he did, I think it was a couple years ago. I think I saw you there. It was at Symphony Space. It was a Motzei Shabbat a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And he's wonderful. He's won many awards.
Oh, tremendous, yes. Yeah, he lectures quite often. He has come here to Brooklyn College, Brooklyn Museum. He's very popular in these renditions and lectures.
Yeah.
Okay, problems.
Okay, problems, okay. First off, some very quick oriented questions, going through some of the material that we've discussed before. I saw that Makam Kurd is something that was not in the Makam and Tefillah charts that are on the back of Shiur Shvachah.
Right.
I was just curious how Makam Kurd is used, you know, for a Shabbat, if it's used at all.
Okay. The way the Makam Kurd, the reason, first of all, I have to clarify something for you. The divisions of the Pizmonim in Makam, uh-huh, as we have it in our Shiur Shvachah book, is really not a sophisticated or truly professional, mm-hmm, classification of Makams. Not really. Because many, many of the Pizmonim in reality, that for instance are listed under Makam Rust, are really Ajam.
Okay.
Which is a quarter note difference, but it is a different Makam.
Right.
Ajam is your major chord,
right,
your major scale,
right,
while Rust has the quarter note in it. So that really you cannot go by the listings there to say how come they don't have chord.
Okay.
Or how come they have Husseini, for instance. Now, the truth of the matter is there are only 8 absolute major families of Makam. Everything else falls under their wings in one way or another, like an umbrella. Or in Arabic they say, really, the final answer is that why is it you may have so many other makams, is what they call tahlaye. The word tahlaye means sweetening up, uh-huh, the scale. In other words, you'll take like the blue note, which is part of a regular scale, but they call it the blue note because it kind of veers by half a, right, note, etc.
So tahlaye is an Arabic term?
Tahlaye, Arabic song, yes. That's an Arabic term, yes, I'm sorry.
Tahlaye.
Tahlaye. Tahlaye comes from the word hilu, sweet.
Okay.
In other words, it sweetens the scale.
Okay.
But in other words, so if you have a connotation or a title of a makam and it's not of the 8 basic makams, they are totally insignificant in reality. In the modern Arabic world, which have come down to a scientific level, they have 8 specific makams. Everything else are descriptive of other factors that may, peculiarities that may come into a scale, but they are not scales onto themselves with a distinct makam area.
So how would Kurd be classified into one of the 8
now,
scales?
Now, Kurd was classified into one of the 8 scales. 8 families of makam. The Kurd, by us, the Syrians, has never been very popular.
Okay.
And we only use 7 of them in reality.
Seven
makams.
Seven makams.
And then, of course, all the other sweetening type of makams.
Right.
Like in Bayat, we'll use Bayat Husseini. But right. Bayat Husseini was never an indication that we're talking about a totally new makam. We're talking about a melodic piece that's in the Bayat family, but we will initiate the song at the Husseini level of the note. Now, I don't know if I ever gave you before a chart descriptive.
You gave me several. Okay. Yeah, so
you check that out and you'll see, and you'll notice that the word Hosseini is the A in that scale.
Right.
So meaning to say that for our purposes and giving them credit for the unsophistication that they had, in other words, doing everything by ear and logic. So they would tell you, for instance, this song is Hosseini, if you look in the book, Bayat Hosseini. Hosseini means, I'm going to sing to you Bayat, I'm going to initiate the song at the point where it starts in the Hosseini note, the fifth note.
Okay?
So that's the whole that's the whole significance you'll find in many of the areas. Bayat Shuri. Bayat Shuri is another little thing. We know that essentially every makam comes in two parts, two tetrachords,
like upper tetrachord.
An upper and a lower tetrachord.
Right.
Now, Bayat Shuri is indicative that the upper tetrachord is going to be in the makam Hijaz. So when they tell a person, we're going to a musician, whatever it is, I'm going to sing this, and it's in makam Shuri, Bayat Shuri, it's indicative that this is what we're using. We're using a particular family of the Bayat area in which the upper tetrachord is going to be in the Hijaz.
Okay.
So that's it. In other words, these are things that they use as implements or vehicles in order to retain the music of a particular song more readily. They become more oriented in that manner.
That's a nice phrase. Use these implements to retain the characteristics.
Yes, the characteristics of the melodies, which would, of course, be divisible in such cases readily if you know music and you're playing the music, that the upper tetrachord is going to be number one, the bottom tetrachord is your basic bayat, for instance. Okay,
so chord will be classified
now. Chord is another situation where you have where the lower tetrachord is a peculiar tetrachord. That a peculiar, it has its own peculiar characteristics, just like the others, just like bayat. The lower tetrachord has its own characteristics. Rust has its own.
Right.
This has its own characteristics too. And the upper tetrachord in that scale is a nahwand.
Okay.
That's what make it a chord, makes it a chord.
So I guess my question is that in the makam and tefillah chart, you know, for parsha by parsha, how it associates.
Yes. How come we never use chord? Simply
that.
Because the Syrian music families never used Kurd.
Use Kurd. Okay.
So Kurdish, you have to understand, Kurd is also a geographical description of certain peoples. The Kurdish, you know, you've heard about the Kurds,
right,
and Kurdistan.
In Iraq.
That's in the Persian area.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, apparently, this was their baby. This is their favorite thing. So is every other thing. Ajam are areas from Arabia. There was a place called Ajam, there's a place called Sabah. All of these originated in certain geographical areas, and that was their mode of sophistication or common usage of a makam. Like, for instance, you'll find the Yemenites are very, very attached to the makam Bayat. Almost everything they sing is in Bayat, everything, which is a remarkable thing. And you wonder, well, don't they use anything else? You don't know. But this is what they're used to. So you'll have to understand that when the more learned scholars of music and singers use different makams, it's because they tied in all of this material together. And of course, your better singers were in Egypt. You're talking about Cairo or Alexandria, where your more sophisticated or your more learned musicians were for the past 70 years were there, coming out of Cairo.
Okay.
And the schools of learning became very, very exacting and scientific because they made their music on in written sheets, etc., in modern writing now, which is a very interesting thing. But they also have their peculiarities for the quarter note and the half note and the three-quarter note, etc.
Right.
You have to find, I don't have any of those sheets, but
I've seen
some of them.
Was it Delanger? Some other French scholars?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were very much attached to it. The French were very much attached to it. As a matter of fact, this is what precisely took place in 1934, where there was a worldwide convention. In France, in Paris. They met in Paris in 1934 to determine and reclassify the makam systems. Because they, at one point, they were just a total indeterminate amount of makams. Indeterminate. And at the time, they supposedly, theoretically, adjusted themselves to coming down into 132, 134 maqams in total. Mm-hmm. But in reality, what they really did, and which was the total accomplishment, is that they eliminated every other fractional musical note, excepting the quarter, the half, three quarters, and full note. This is what the major point that they really made was adapting this particular system and nothing beyond it. Why am I saying that? Because there was such a thing as a 5/8 of a note. It was a 3/8 of a note, etc., mm-hmm. etc. Et and all these, now you have to understand, especially when you're using a violin or the oud, you could slide your finger any way you want between C and D and get a million tones. You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what they did is really scientifically adopt a solidified format, what notes make scales. So they eliminated all the other stuff, and they eliminated therefore many other so-called maqams, mm-hmm. which were known just to individuals or small communities or small locales, etc., or certain groups of musicians, that they may have their peculiar name for these maqams because they use a particular note in a certain way. Right. That's all. So they eliminated, they washed it out. But now, as you see, Simon Shaheen now is probably, I would say, one of the foremost musical scholars in the Arab world, because he is the one that runs the institute in Haifa. It's a gigantic school. I know of it. It's a marvelous school. And he, in his theories and in his music, he tells you, look, you have to understand that essentially there are only 8 maqams. That's it. Mm-hmm. Now, any other variations of what you would call of the standard scale of the maqam, then it would be just something, an additive to it. It's a spicing up of the maqam to make it a little more attractive, a little more peculiar, more unusual, and so on and so on. Says, but otherwise, you have to understand everything has to fit under the.
So there are some pismonim in maqam chord?
Not that we're aware of. The truth of the matter, we are not aware. Now, in the Israeli pismonim book, see, now there's a total different world from the point of view that there is an Israeli pismonim book.
Right.
In other words, originally it had started from a Syrian congregation, Syrian synagogue, and then the Israelis had taken over in the past 50 years. And they developed a much more sophisticated realization and identification of maqam because of their close attachment to the Turkish schools of music. Now, the Turkish schools of music are astounding. They really have, where, like when we talked about 132, 134 maqams, where do they really flow from? The most knowledgeable ones in the world happen to be in Turkey, mm-hmm. even far beyond and better than Cairo, mm-hmm. of Egypt. Mm-hmm. So from the Turkish world, they have taken much, much, much music. And the Kurd was apparently a major scale that was used, is used in Turkey. Because you have to understand the Kurdish scale, if you'll check it out from the charts I gave you, mm-hmm. is very readily playable in any kind of an instrument. It only consists of major and minor notes, half and full notes. That's all it is.
Okay. Now, do you know the recording that Kay did? I think you were involved in that about 10 years ago with the Fismanim record. That
I don't recall.
Anyways, the reason that this came up is that I recall a pismon recorded on the record,
yes,
called Mereshet Kol, that they said in the notes was in maqam chord, and then I think Hyman Carey sang it to, like, you know, the Kaddish.
Hi, Carey. I don't know.
Okay.
You've got me.
Okay.
You'd have to contact them, because I don't recall.
All right, so as far as you're aware, there aren't any melodies in maqam.
There are many, but we're not aware of it.
But not in the pismonim book, or not that's used in Shabbat, or...
No. We don't have a major adaptation for it, or any Shabbat, as you'll notice, number one. Number two, here, the Syrian pismonim book don't have the cognizance that there is such a thing as good, for a very simple reason.
Okay.
That the scale almost matches the Bayat scale, note for note, except for one quarter note.
Okay.
That's the total difference. Take the two scales and match them against each other.
Okay.
Okay, they both start from D.
Okay.
They all run from D to D.
Okay.
And match them together, you'll notice that the upper half scale, which in the standard Bayat has one side of it, one part of the standard is with a Mahwant.
Right.
It has Nahwand and Rust.
Right.
They're both standard. Now you'll notice that the upper scale of the chord also is Nahwand. Now the where is the difference in the bottom scale? Where is the difference actually in the first three notes?
D, E flat down?
I think it's in the E quarter flat. Where the E quarter flat is not an E quarter flat, but it's a D flat completely.
E
quarter flat. It will be an E flat.
E flat. Right. So Bayat is D E quarter flat F.
Right. Exactly.
And chord is D E flat F.
Exactly.
Right. So that's.
So it means it's just a half note.
Right.
Or D sharp comes out. Right.
You're right. That's very very.
It's
close.
The same thing.
If you make it an E natural, that's not a one.
It's almost like an Nahwand,
yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, right, right. A half step difference from Nahwand.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
so that's the total difference. So now, why wouldn't we have noticed it? We right. wouldn't have noticed it because for the same problem that we had with Rust and Ajam.
Right.
That quarter note, right. You can hear a melody, and you sing it your way,
right.
And you slurred that full note. I mean, made it into a quarter note.
Okay.
You made it a three quarter note. You see?
Okay.
So you didn't notice any difference. Only there's something oriental about you.
Okay.
Now the same thing happened here with the Makam Kurd. If there are any Pizmonim that are Kurd, they would be listed under Bayat,
mm-hmm.
actually. And they may still be Kurd.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not aware of it, nor have we designated it, nor have we marked it so, etc. So until the Israeli Hazanim started coming through,
mm-hmm.
they make a big to-do about the Kurd.
Uh-huh.
They have a lot of Pizmonim in court, a lot of beautiful melodies. And of course, much of it was derived because of the Turkish influence. The Turks are excellent musicians. Excellent.
Yeah, I did some of the modern tunes of like Abdu'l-Wahab and
yes.
Varda and so on. Are some of those
yes.
in court?
They could be, yes.
Right.
Oh, yes, yes, yes,
so
they could be.
Some more modern thing. Like
right, right.
The Syrian
especially with Abdul Wahab coming
like
in.
Moshe Ashkar was not as much influence.
I don't think he was aware of it yet. Ashkar
yeah.
was not aware of it, nor was he aware of the difference, because now he is one of the major classifiers of that book, Shirish Baha.
Okay.
Yet, he himself fell in a trap of not being able to identify modern music like that are on the major scales, and he dropped it into the Rust scale, although he had Ajam also, but he didn't have that, he didn't really recognize the differentiation.
What else was I going to ask you? But that helps tremendously. It really helps my understanding. So when would the Israeli cantors make use of chord? Would they use it for like Yeheskel Tzion, does he like make use of chord for any parts of the tefillah?
Sure. Oh, you mean, well, now, wait a minute. There's a problem here. The problem is that the Shacharit Shabbat
mm-hmm.
is usually, and by us,
mm-hmm.
the Syrians, a major scale.
Right.
And all the melodic pieces, that
right.
in seven the seven melodic pieces
right.
have to fit into that. Into that structure.
Right.
The Israeli Hazanim
uh-huh.
didn't abide by this format when they first came here. The seven pieces of music that we use, they would use it, but they did not stick to one makam.
Okay.
They could use two makams, three makams, four makams. They used, as a matter of fact, the first time Yeheskel Tzion came, he wanted to sing for me and my he wanted to come to my minyan Saturday morning and sing for me. He came. He says, "Oh, I'm going to give you a surprise. I'm going to give you a salad." I said, okay. So
mm-hmm.
every piece was in a different makam. So I told him, you know, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound like any. It sounds like each one is so chopped up.
Mm-hmm.
It's all by itself. It doesn't sound like one gigantic composition, which is what we try to do
right.
When we try to present it to the Kahal.
So even like the, as you said, the Shalosh Ketarim, Nishmat, Kaddish, and Kedushah.
Right.
Which are the three heavy pieces.
The three major pieces.
Yeah, the three major heavy pieces.
Yes.
Even those he wouldn't make in the same makam?
No. They were not aware of it. No. They were not aware that this is the way we handled,
okay.
and nor did the Egyptians either.
Yeah.
Egyptians, as a matter of fact, Egyptians didn't have melodic pieces to the seven pieces that we used as melodic pieces. In other words, the ones that were really in the forward limelight were the Syrians. That structured thing, that they made this like a symphonic presentation, etc.
Right.
Not that they didn't vary within the seven major pieces into other makams,
right.
But they would use it as a side issue and always be certain to come back to the makam of the day.
Now what about the Damascus, the Shaman?
No, they didn't have the... They were not scholarly, they were not notable for their music knowledge, they were not anywhere near what the Aleppian Jews were. They really didn't contribute anything, okay. Not really.
All right, a couple of the clarification questions I had, I was wondering if you might be able to record a couple of things for me, is some of the like melodies used in Birchot HaShachar, just how it's... you know, how it's just basically said and how that differentiates.
And Birchot HaShachar?
Yeah.
Why will there be melodies in Birchot HaShachar?
Well, when you say Birchot HaShachar, is that in a makam?
Usually, what we do is the following. The most knowledgeable or the most popular makam is the makam Siga. Why? Because our Sefer Torah is in Makam Siga, the Kiriat Shema in the Tefillot is in Makam Siga, the Ketoret is in Siga, which is from the Torah.
Sorry, the Ketoret?
The Ketoret, well, you people don't say the Ketoret.
Yeah.
But in Tefillat, before we say Ashre, we have the Ketoret.
Okay.
Let me just show it to you.
Yeah, okay.
We start off with a psalm in Mincha. Then we say, Salve Ben Yisrael, this is from the Torah. And then, Ekshektiro Avotenu Panecha, Ketoret Tasamim, etc. That's one paragraph presentation. Then you have another piece from the Torah. Now we describe the Samim. This is what's called the Ketoret, for the Ketoret. So, this is what we call the Ketoret. Now, this is the Korbanot. Okay, you call it the Korbanot. Really, it's prior to the Korbanot.
Yeah.
It's in the morning prayer too. Okay. It's before the Shem Melech that we have, before Baruch Shem Amar that you have. Okay, now.
Right, so before this Mirot begin, when, you know, people are, you know, I know that people are coming into the synagogue.
Okay, let me clarify one more point, because you mentioned it, and we don't have, this is not our minhag.
Okay.
These Berchot HaShachar, we don't do this in the synagogue at all.
Okay.
We start from Eloheinu.
Okay.
And that is your thing about. But from the moment they start in Eloheinu, the average schnook that goes up there is going to go to a mellow. His voice melodically will go into Siga.
Okay.
So you'll find if he did nothing all morning long and went through the whole prayer,
right,
6 days a week, Sunday through Friday, it will be in Siga. Because his intent is not really to go into Makam.
Right.
His intent is just to have it rolling along, not to be monotonous. And what's the quickest and easiest way that he can do it is what he hears most often. Siga.
Okay. So can you just give me like a small example of what that might sound like?
All right.
Like what would be a good...
From the Shaharit.
Yeah.
Okay. But I just want you to see how readily this has to be so. Because the second paragraph, after you start, you initiate your prayer, is already from the Torah. So you start like this. Etc. So you know, so the minute he leads off here, he finishes the piece of the Torah. It doesn't mean I'm going to cover the whole scale. I'll sail within 3, 4, 5 notes, that's all. So it shouldn't be extremely monotonous. But that he'll carry through the entire prayer.
Right. I had sat down with Mo and he had gone through a lot of this.
Yeah.
Because you had helped me so much with the Makam and Tefillah.
You're right.
So what I did was, I just wanted to show you real quick, is that I just tried to categorize it to say that Berchot HaShachar, and maybe I used it the term incorrectly in terms of how I know it to distinguish.
Yes, because B'chartesh how we don't even say
so
in the synagogue.
That's really the wrong term.
That's the wrong term altogether.
So what should I call that?
This is called, wait a minute. This is really called Zemirot. Let's call the Zemirot.
See, I thought Zemirot started with Hodu.
It does. Zemirot started with Hodu. The pre-Zemirot. Yeah. This is the Torah part of the Zemirot. Where you have to have Torah Nevi'im Ketuvim, which is prior to it.
So I'll change that term. So he said that was in Siga. It's like a recitation.
Right.
And now when we get to Zemirot, after the Kaddish.
Okay, we're going to follow through. And so now we're talking about weekdays. Are we talking about weekdays?
No, we're talking about Shabbat.
Oh, okay. So now that's a switcheroo. Then let's talk about Shabbat. Shabbat will start the first part the same way. We get to Hodu, we have a melodic piece.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That has a standard melodic piece that's eternal.
There's a fixed melody.
Now, we start now with Makam Shem Melech. Shem Melech.
Right.
Listen carefully.
Right.
The Shem Melech.
It foreshadows the Makam of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what Ma told me. Right.
Okay. That tells you what the Makam of the day is going to be. Then.
Now, but, excuse me. Between Hodu and Hashem Melech, is it the same way?
It's Siga. It usually falls on Siga. Now, it depends on who's at the podium.
Okay.
If he wants, he can pick any makam. Okay. He could, the way he feels at that point. He wants Rust, he could use Rust. He wants Saba, he uses Saba. There's no set pattern, okay. But he could use anyone. If he fell flat on his face, he would use just Siga.
Okay.
Now, the next problem is after Hodu.
Okay.
No, after Baruch Shamar.
Okay.
After Baruch Shamar, you have a situation where there's a hallelujah piece to be sung there.
Right.
That hallelujah has to be of a particular makam from the point of view what? That it should not really always be like the makam of the day.
Right.
It should be some form of a contrast
or
relative to it.
Right. Yeah, I think Maha told me that. So it varies. I
mean, it varies.
By,
it depends on what melody you want to use for hallelujah. It doesn't look anything like the Shem Melech. But it doesn't look anything like. Now, you may use, for instance, if you have a bayat. Now, bayat, the upper tetrachord could be either a Rust, or the upper tetrachord could be a Nahwand, or upper tetrachord could be a Hajaz.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick anything you want, because what you will do is it will fall into the Bayat eventually when you get to the Nishmat area.
We'll start. Now between the Kaddish Darabanan of, as you said, the...
of the Hodu, before Hodu.
Before Hodu, that's
yes.
in Siga. Then... When between when Hodu and Hashem Melech, as you said, it's usually in Siga.
It falls still in Siga.
Right,
exactly.
And then after Hashem Melech, it could then be typically Siga, but it could
Hashem
be
Hashem Melech is Makam of the day.
Okay.
That stopped there. Now it was, then they start.
Right?
No, we don't say
on
Saturday.
You don't say that on Saturday?
No, we don't say on Saturday. Hold on. Because you're getting mixed up with the weekdays.
Right.
The weekdays they would.
Okay.
Saturday. It starts. I'm sorry, there's another Lamaseah.
Yeah.
That's a weekday one, forget that.
Okay?
Okay. Which then follows after that.
Could you give me an example of singing that in Siga?
Like the format I gave you in the beginning, it's identical. We make it a little more melodic than we do the weekdays.
Okay.
Because we're taking more our time. Weekdays, we're pushing to want to get out. But that's one makam, but it doesn't mean he has to use Siga. He can use any makam, Bayat, etc., etc.
Okay.
This is my son, Abe.
Marty.
Working on his doctorate for music.
Really? Where? What school?
At New York University.
Oh, where are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I teach at the Management Institute over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's nice. Interesting.
That's great.
So you're doing it on Middle Eastern music?
Yeah, it's in ethnomusicology, and my focus is the Syrian Shabbat service.
Oh,
so your father
nice.
And... Actually, your uncle, Motel, has been very, very helpful.
Great. Okay, we'll hope to read it when it comes out.
Yeah.
I just grab the paper before I go.
Okay, Rahim. All right.
So that's terrific. So these mizmorim are a little more melodic than they would be said.
During weekdays, because there's time. There's a time element involved there.
Okay.
So
these were pretty much all said the same way. All the shirei
yes. Oh yes, all the way down the line. You maintain the makam.
Right.
If the one that's standing at the podium initiates a particular makam, all the rest of the individuals that help him out. Usually it's a grouping. Right. There will be two, three, four people that may be saying the pieces.
Right.
Each one takes one piece.
From the Kahal might.
From the Kahal, yeah. Right. But they will be asked to participate.
Right.
They will follow suit with the Makam.
Right.
They will not variate, go by themselves, but because if they did, then the whole thing will be amorphous. There's no body to it.
Okay.
They all maintain the Makam as because their target is in the end, as you'll notice later on, to get after Baruch Shamar, to get to the Hallelujah.
Okay.
That's their target in the end anyway.
Okay, so after Baruch Shemar is Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat.
Now, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat, usually the Hazan will say it,
right.
Because he will now set the Makam that he wants for the Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, this takes place before Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat. In the Baruch Shemar, at the end, Baruch Shemo,
right.
There are 10 Baruchs in here.
At
the end of this, the Hazan takes over. The Hazan that's going to say Shahrit.
Right.
And he said, in the Makam he wants. Because Baruch Shemar is all in Nahwan usually. That's a standard melody.
Right, that almost sounds like Hatikva, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's always done that way. It just happened to be a set piece of melodic piece. But from there, the cantor is going to take over and go into the Makam he wants.
A different Makam that's not...